Okay, so we're still there in Ephesians chapter 4, looking there at verse 11. We got to the verse 11 2 weeks ago. That was where we closed off class and then had a number of people that had some questions about spiritual gifts. And so last week we ran through the other major passages that talk about spiritual gifting, the Romans 12, 1-8, 1 Corinthians 12, 1-3, and 14, 1-5, and 1 Peter 4, 8-11. And the key points that I overarchingly wanted to make sure that we remembered when we talk about spiritual gifts is that, you know, as a body, we're together as one. You know, we're different parts of the body, and that's why that God gives us, and we are different, is because some of us are elbows and knees and toes and ears, and, you know, we're all these different parts, but we function together. We talked about gifting can come in what I see is three different ways or pathways. The first being how God designed you, your DNA, how God created you. The second one being that through life experience, God is gifting you to be able to understand things, to be able to relate to things and other people, and then God wants you to use that as you come across other people that are going through similar situations. And then the third one is that spiritual gifting through the Holy Spirit. And we definitely came to the conclusion, or I emphasized it the most, I guess would be a better way to say that, that the true gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That we don't want to get caught in the weeds of the manifestations of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, but we want to focus on that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, God the Spirit is dwelling within us, and so He will gift us what we need for when we need it. And then we went through all the different lists of all the different types of gifts or visible gifts or manifestations of the gifts, and we talked about, even for Paul, he gives multiple lists, but what was interesting about those lists?
They're different.
And so you would think when Paul's giving a list of giftings that if there was a set, these are the gifts, he would give it exactly the same in the different contexts of Romans and Corinth. But yet it really seems like there's not a set list of gifts. I know that's contrary to a lot of people that are out there. They want to tell you that, no, there's these 22, and this is what they are, and you can take an assessment to figure out which is you. I'm just not big on that. To me, you know, I go back to, you've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will gift you as you're obedient, as you're surrender for what you need. Now, it will look like the examples that we have from Paul twice and from Peter. It'll look like those. It might overlap those, but it might be slightly different than those that are listed. So that's kind of where we closed everything off last week. And so now we're back in. We're going to pick up at verse 11 there and go through the rest of that paragraph, because I'm going to present a slightly different picture for this passage. And I touched on that 2 weeks ago, and I want to go ahead and tie a bow in it as we finish off this paragraph. So somebody will start us off there in verse 11 and take us through 16.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
So when we look at those five, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, why is God gifting that to the church body? Those people. What's the rest of that paragraph explain? You can just summarize it.
To equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Yes. I think that Paul is painting a different picture here than he was painting to the Roman church and to the church at Corinth. In those churches, I think he was talking to them about what they were seeing amongst themselves and how the Holy Spirit was working things out through them being the body of Christ. I think he's addressing a different topic here that he's specifically identifying that God has very intentionally gifted people to be, again, small a, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers within every church so that every church body could be fully equipped for the ministry of each individual person and for the ministry of the corporate body, so for us, Berea. And so my take on this passage is that the way Paul is addressing it, that this isn't just for them. He wants them to understand it, but this is a teaching that can go out across to every church. And so that's where I'm going to be much more forward on that. I think all of us, to help equip each other, have a high level of one of these areas, and we should be growing through the Holy Spirit in the other ones. But yet, to be obedient Christians, to be obedient disciples, followers of Christ, we need to have all five of those welling up within us. But it's going to take time. It's going to take maturing. So when we look at the apostles, I see people that are pushing the message out, expanding the kingdom. They want to reach out into the lostness, and that individually and corporately, we need to see that, and we need to be talking about that, and we need to realize we need to look outside and not be looking inside. People that are prophetically wired or gifted, because I see these as being more in the DNA, that one that is really you, and then the Holy Spirit's going to well up the other ones. So when you're prophetically gifted or wired, the truth is of the utmost importance. And everything in your life, everything that you're about, you want to make sure people are getting the truth. And all of it comes from God's Word. The apostles want us to be challenged and focused to go out and live it out and be Christ-like, transformed, and that comes from Scripture. The prophets, they want us to make sure we're understanding the truth of Scripture because there's so much truth in it. And if you don't have the truth, you're not going to be able to make it. All right? So again, we're complementing each other. It's not that any one of the five are right and the other ones are wrong. It takes all of us together. For the evangelist, those are the people that are pressing in on, we need to be individually having gospel conversations with people. We need to be telling them about Jesus and telling them how Jesus changed us and how Jesus can change them. If you're going to be a shepherd, those are the people that are much more caring. They're much more coming alongside people. We need to take care of each other. We need to be here for each other. Can I help you? What's going on? People that are having much more empathy. And they're concerned about, that person's in a bad situation. And then the teachers are the ones that want us to get every little, period and, contextual variant within the Scripture. And they want us to make sure we understand all the details of each little paragraph. And so the five need each other, and we need to be growing in all five of them, but we need to realize more than likely we're wired, we're gifted in one of those. And so we need to understand ourselves so that we can be the most effective that we can be, so that we know how God is really moving us forward overarchingly. We still need to be about doing the same stuff, but we need to know how we're doing it so that we can do it more effectively along the way. Thoughts, questions, since I know that's a little bit push in on probably something a little different than you've heard.
I can just echo from my experience the idea of these spiritual gift inventories, personality tests. When I came out of high school, I volunteered in a ministry, and the first thing they did was sit you down and have you take a DISC test, like a personality test.
Yep, DISC assessment.
And it was one of those things where it was so ingrained in the culture of that ministry. When you came out, they asked, "What are you, a DI, an IC, or whatever?" And then they treated you as such. And so they would compartmentalize your ministry or your ability. Like, oh, well, you can't go and facilitate that event because you're an ID. Or you can't go to this because you're this. And they would box you into ministry that was designed based on the results of this test. And for a while, that is what I kind of saw ministry as. It was like, oh, I'm in this box. I get to shepherd. I get to care. I get to do your hospitality. I don't get to go, you know, research or, you know, preach in any capacity. This is my ministry box.
And that's where I want to...
That was, well, through spiritual mentors and prayer and reading the Bible on my own, I realized, well, it is more complementary than where I'm probably gifted towards this area, but the other areas are areas of growth. And there was no growth. It was like, okay, these are just not your thing. You're here. And that was just so damaging in the ministry.
And that's where I want us to make sure we find that tension within the middle of those. We can't let that box us, like you were saying. But we need to understand that we can be more effective through this, and then we got to figure out where that middle ground is, so that we're definitely leveraging our strengths, but then we're trying to let the Holy Spirit complement and bring us along and each other, so that we bring others into our life. And so maybe you're strong in hospitality, but yet Clark is not as strong in hospitality. But through you guys being friends, you help Clark come along and be stronger in hospitality. And so we need to know ourselves so that we can know how to move forward, but yet we always have to be growing. And we can't let that box us. Good point. Somebody else. Okay, well, let's just jump into the passage then, and we'll continue along there. So somebody go ahead and do verse 12 for us.
For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
What does it mean to be equipped?
To have the proper tools.
To have proper tools?
Proper training.
Proper training.
Proper knowledge.
To have knowledge.
Tools can be a mental way to, whether it's articulating something or thinking through a logical process or a causality, rather than just a wrench.
Yes. Yeah, but definitely different levels of tools. Good. Somebody else, what does it mean to be equipped?
I think it does not mean to be comfortable, necessarily.
Give us a little more, Katie.
So, like, if I'm equipped to, like, if we're equipped to grow the body of Christ, if I'm equipped to share the gospel, that doesn't mean that I'm, like, super comfortable with it. I know how to articulate the gospel. I have maybe, like, a conversation starter, like I have a setting in which I can do that, but I do not feel comfortable. I think a lot of times, especially with spiritual gifts, people do the opposite of what we've been talking about, where like, oh, I'm strong in this, I'm not going to touch on these other things. And it's like, it's still a command of us, so I think it's not that we feel totally comfortable with it, but we have what we need, not what we want to do it.
Here. Basically, it can change, so depending on the situation, you use different equipments and different tools for that situation. Not a definite, finite thing.
So, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. What does that mean, work of ministry?
We're all commanded to carry out the Great Commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, in some capacity, we should have some ministry. Whether that's maybe a formal ministry within the church or witnessing to our neighbors, whatever that is, we have to be taking the gospel to the lost.
Okay. So what Josh just said, have you heard that before? Yes, no, maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah.
So how are you fleshing that out in your life then? For those that said yes. Because most of you said yes, so...
So, one of the things, my father was a minister growing up, and there were multiple men within the church who helped show me how to be a man, a good, godly Christian man besides my father. Mm-hmm. So on Mondays, I volunteer and I teach Straw Life. It's one of the several ministries that I have, but it's a just using one, right?
Yeah.
But I teach 5 and 6 year old little boys, and some of them 5 to 7 year old little boys. And it's as frustrating as the baseball thing, by the way. I try to exercise them, and then you know when they're a little worn out, then we talk about God, we pray in, we do Bible verses, we work through you know being a man, and then we do some other activity. But anyway, yeah, it's literally a ministry that I'm working through.
Right, good. Somebody else.
I it's interesting because I saw that in my own life, right? So I saw people equipping me, preparing me, years ago. Then, of course, coming to this point, then between yourself and I, right, our thing, and now I do the same thing. So now I'm equipping or helping to equip those who will also continue the ministry, mm-hmm. and not just within Berean, but also outside as well. Because mm-hmm. every time we talk to someone, or whether they attend our church or not, we're still building, right? We're still teaching and building and helping each other grow. And then if they're, you know, if they're not as mature in the faith, then that's just helping them to grow. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times when we look at these spiritual gifts, we think, well, that's just for a particular group of people because they seem to have this thing. But it's not. It's for everyone because we've all been called to proclaim the gospel, right? Whether you're standing in the pulpit leading a group or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all being equipped to go and to, you know, make disciples who make this, you know, like this multiplication thing. So it's just this thing.
I have one. I know when I'm in deep prayer in the morning and the Lord gives me a verse or a word, and because I have a really close relationship, talk to him, and the Holy Spirit just gives me from the verse things to say. I put it on Facebook or a song, a beautiful song, and I have praise with him in my time with him. I put that on there, and I've had many people talk to me as a result of that, you know. So yeah.
Somebody else, how's God working with you, fleshing out your ministry, whether it's formal, like Josh said, formal within the church, formal outside the church, or informal?
I think, too, just to encourage, especially moms with younger children still at home, that's a huge equipping. And it, a lot of times, as moms, you don't feel that is a calling, per se, because it's not big picture. But it is a huge picture for the moms to keep being encouraged to do that for their children.
Somebody else. How's God fleshing out ministry through you?
So our neighbor lost her husband probably about a month ago now. So she told me last summer, she goes, something's missing in my life. And she's late 70s. Something's missing in my life spiritually. I'd like to come to church with you sometime. So we've invited her once, and she told me she wasn't ready. But she would let us know when she was ready. So since then, her husband's passed. So we're just trying to love on them in a practical way. You know, the verse that you will know we are Christians by our love. So we've been reaching out just once a week, bringing them a meal. Like, Brian made a big meal last night. I just messaged, we're going to bring you some food today. That'll be great. So, and then he has a friend visiting who was planning to come to church with us. This morning, I'm not going to come. And we're like, all right, Lord. Let Adam continue to know who you are through our lifestyle, just even living with our family for the weekend. So I think the Lord calls us not necessarily to always minister by words, but a lot of times just by our actions. And it's the work of his Spirit to do the rest. Because I was disappointed this morning because I was so excited for Adam to, you know, experience this. But the Lord knew he wouldn't come. And we just have to trust that he's still going to be planting seeds, so through our actions.
So this question ties into the question that I ask in the beginning or at the end of class or Wednesday nights, because I believe that each of us is expected to be in ministry, okay, some way, somehow, ministering to people. And we should be seeing that. We should be able to identify it. And when we come in here, we're not patting ourselves on the back. We're actually just vocalizing and sharing with each other what God is actually doing, so that that can be an encouragement, that can be a help for somebody else, because somebody else might be in a similar situation, but yet they haven't realized it yet. But when they hear you talking about what's going on in your life and in your situation and how God is using you, then they could go, I could do that. We have a neighbor, you know, I could take them food. We cook a big meal here and we'll take them, you know, their portion on that part. I can do trail life. I can coach people that have never played baseball before. I might not be an all-star. You know, I might not have played football at college. Type of situation there, but I could teach 5th and 6th graders that have never played football or baseball. You know, so that's why I want us to be sharing, so that we can see what God is already doing in other people, so we can see what He's doing in us, but also so we can see that He wants to challenge us to step up and make sure that we're being intentional in ministry in some way. So somebody else, how is God fleshing out your ministry?
For me, it's twofold, right? One, at work, right? We have a morning Bible study every Wednesday morning. And I just feel like this call to invite people, hey, come, you know, and just bring them to the ministry there. And then it's all around. So that's one. And then second, just like Awana's, right? Trying to reach those young, you know, 24, not 30s.
3 to 5 years old,
sorry. kids, right? It's all blur, right?
Especially Billy. Man.
but yeah, that's how I feel. Obviously, there's always room for improvement, but those were kind of the two areas where the Lord has been needing us to.
And you know, and not just you two, but many in the class, mm-hmm. you know, you serve monthly in the nursery. You know, that's a great gifting to parents so that their children are covered, spiritually safe. You know, Miss Alita started with, is it fifth grade, Miss Alita? You know, doing Sunday school with the children. And, you know, that's part of ministry, being willing to step in. Even if you think, you know, well, I'm only in the nursery once a month. That makes a big difference. When Amanda's making out that schedule, when she knows that you'll be there committed for that third Sunday or Wednesday or, you know, those types of things. That's part of the body taking care of each other. Jen?
So I had a situation where somebody here in the church just mentioned that she was really struggling after a sermon. She just didn't understand, and pastor had, you know, said, you know, you should understand this, and she was kind of feeling, you know, a little overwhelmed. And I said, well, why don't we just sit down and chat about it? And, you know, I'd be more than happy to meet with you on a regular basis, and we can talk about those things. And so that's blossomed, and, you know, we've got a Zoom call that we do. And so that's something that anybody could do. We just do it once a week on Zoom, and we just talk it over. So it's one of the little micro groups, and I know that's something that you've been trying to establish.
Now, that's just a great area. You know, pastor's very much prophetically gifted, wired from my perspective. He wants us to grasp the truth. And sometimes he can come across a little direct, a little firm. And sometimes. Okay, all the time. And that's where, you know, that's where I go back to, he's gifted, he's wired in that way, because that's not a put on when he preaches. He's that way when you're one on one, you know, it's just all that way. But we need that, because then that arrests our attention to the importance of that truth. But now also, sometimes we need some other people to come along once somebody's arrested to that truth and help them to process through it.
Especially for new believers.
Yeah. And so that's where we complement each other along those lines. Somebody else, Caitlin.
I do American Heritage Girls, which is the counterpart to Trail Life. And I don't know, this year through AHG, I feel like the Lord's maybe showing me places to go. Like, maybe that's not the ministry. I think sometimes we find our place while doing something that maybe it's not no longer where we're supposed to be. Yeah. Like, he's used that time. We've done that time. We've grown in that area. Now it's time to move to some other form of ministry.
And I can see that in two ways. One is you're learning as you're going, and you're like, I did okay at that, but I might need to look over here and be stronger on this. Sometimes it could just be a season of life or a chapter that, for this time period, God needed me in this ministry, ministering to this group of people, but now I need to look over in this area. And die. And so, and that's where we can't say, you know, once you figure this out, then you've got it for the rest of your life. No, this is an ongoing thing. The Holy Spirit's going to continue to grow you and minister to you and then through you. Because, you know, the statement, the gospel came to you to go to somebody else. You know, the gospel did not come to you to stop. We have to understand that the good news came to you so that then you could be a conduit for that good news to continue to other people. And we'll get back into it. We'll continue with the rest of the passage next week. So, but your homework, just want you to do an honest assessment. How is God using you in ministry, in gospel ministry, to the people that are around you, in your normal spheres of influence? And just pay attention to that this week. And realize it, bless you, on that part. And then we'll do a time of sharing again at the beginning. So we'll have a lot more sharing next week, correct? Because this is homework. So everybody will take, you know, really serious on that. So, Gene, would you close out word prayer, please?
Almighty Father, Holy God, I thank you, God, for this class. I thank you for this group of people, the conversation, the sharing, the testimony to your power, to your goodness, and your ministry in our lives. Pray, Father, that for those of us who may not be so understand our being equipped, God, that you would begin to manifest that in our lives and give us the courage and the wisdom to know how to step out and begin to minister to others. Pray, Father, for the service that is coming up. Pray that you will be glorified and blessed by everything that is said and done there. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Great conversation today. Thank you, Sharon.
I heard.